Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture today is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?"
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, I want to let you in on a little secret. Prayer is difficult. Even for someone like me, whose job it is to pray with and for people. Anyone who tries to tell you that prayer is easy, that it's just a conversation between you and God, is lying to you. I think one of the reasons that prayer is difficult is because we often turn to prayer during life's difficult moments. When words fail us, we turn to God in prayer, hoping to make sense of our new reality. I believe that Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer to help them make sense of what it means to follow Jesus. If you look at the prayer, you'll see that it can be broken into 3 parts. It starts with adoration, the middle part is supplication, and then it ends with contrition. So the prayer teaches us how to praise God, adoration, how to ask God for things, supplication, and it ends with teaching us how to ask God to forgive us when we mess up, or contrition. One of the things that I love about the Lord's Prayer is you can actually adapt it to almost any circumstance. I believe this is part of the reason that Christians have been reciting this prayer for centuries. In fact, in the past week, I can think of 3 different examples when I prayed some version of the Lord's Prayer to someone. When I was praying with somebody right before they were about to head into surgery, I found myself praying that God's will be done. When someone called the church asking for money, but refusing my offer of food, I prayed that God would find a way to give this person their daily bread. Those of you who serve on session or as deacons will know that I try to begin our meetings with some version of the prayer that God, you would not lead us into the temptation towards despair when we encounter a problem we don't yet have a solution for. When the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, what they're really asking him is, what does it look like to be in communion with God? What does it mean to know God so well that we can make decisions confident that we are living our lives in a way that is pleasing to God? So in the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus does is he encourages his followers to pray so that they can grow closer to God. See, for Jesus, the goal of Christian discipleship is not necessarily to produce people who can pray eloquently, but it is for believers to participate in the kingdom of God that Jesus started, but that believers are going to have to figure out for themselves once he ascends to the Father. Prayer helps believers catch glimpses of this kingdom unfolding all around them. To help believers train their eyes to see the kingdom, Jesus encourages believers to ask God's help in adopting four behaviors. These behaviors are confession, supplication, forgiveness, and perseverance. First comes confession, where we acknowledge who God is, but also where we have fallen short of living in accordance of who God is. So this is a part of the prayer where we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." In prayer, confession is done both individually. So, for example, "God, I'm sorry for yelling at my sister yesterday." But confession is also done corporately. So, for example, "God, I'm sorry for my laziness and not taking my recycling out, how that is contributing to global warming." Confession helps us see how our behaviors, both conscious and also unconscious ones, undermine the kingdom of God. After confession comes supplication. This is where we ask God for the things that we need to sustain our daily living. "Give us this day our daily bread." We tend to ask God for the things that we can't acquire on our own. And we ask God for them because we trust that God is going to act. Like the neighbor from our parable for this morning, who trusts that her neighbor is going to give her bread when she has guests that show up unexpectedly. We trust that God is going to meet our needs because we know that God loves us. After supplication comes forgiveness, where we ask God to forgive our sins as we try to forgive those who sin against us. I think forgiveness is the single most important characteristic of the kingdom of God. It is the characteristic that differentiates the kingdom of God from the kingdom of this world. Because let's face it, forgiveness does not come naturally to us. It's not our first reaction when someone violates our boundaries. Yet Jesus teaches us to forgive and to pray for forgiveness so that other people can start to see glimpses of his kingdom. Finally, after forgiveness comes perseverance, where we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Here we aren't praying for God to eliminate temptation. We're not saying that God causes temptation, but but we're praying that God would lead us away from it. We're praying for perseverance when we have to deal with the things that tempt us to behave in a way not in line with our identity as children of God. All of us, in one way or another, face temptation. And dealing with temptation in a way that brings glory to God is one way that we participate in this kingdom living. Maybe I'm a little bit pessimistic, but I don't think that the behaviors of confession, supplication, forgiveness, or even perseverance come naturally to any of us. We have to ask God for help with them, trusting that God will act. And the Lord's Prayer is a tool to give us an example of what it might look like to do this. Friends, I think the reason that many of us struggle to pray is because we don't know where to begin. We're so intimidated by the thought of asking God, the creator of the universe, for help that we never do it. I think our text for this week challenges us to pray even when we don't know what we're doing, even when we're at a loss for words. In the life of our congregations this week, there will be many opportunities to pray. People are going to get sick, and they're going to ask for prayers. Meals need to be blessed. Nations continue to wage war against nation. A creek could flood, or a French drain could rot, causing damage in either one of our buildings. Pick one concern from the week ahead and pray about it. Use this concern as an opportunity to ask God to help you grow in perseverance, forgiveness, humility, or courage. I hate to say this, but prayer is one of those disciplines that we only get better at by doing it. We can read all the books, listen to all the podcasts, but it's not until we stop and actually try to pray that we learn how to do it. I do want to say, though, if prayer is a new practice for you, please don't promise yourself that you are going to sit in silence for 30 minutes every day and pray. This is a sure recipe for you getting frustrated on day 3 and never praying again. 15 minutes of frustrated prayer, as often as you can manage it, is better than nothing. I have to confess, there have been days, weeks, even months in my life where I've struggled and even failed to pray regularly. During some of these seasons, I've just been too busy and forgotten about it. But during others, I've simply not felt like it. When I'm in seasons of prayer slumps, I find it helpful to try to do something simple, to repeat a simple prayer throughout the day. As many of you know, I find Hosea songs to be really helpful for prayer time. One of my favorite prayers to pray when I'm not really feeling it is a prayer called "The Kingdom of God." I'm going to sing it for you now. Goes like this. The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom. Friends, this prayer takes approximately 15 seconds to pray. And as you can tell, you don't actually have to be a talented singer to to sing it. What I like about singing prayers instead of saying them is it helps me focus on God when life gets busy or when it feels too overwhelming. Everyone has 15 seconds. I suspect this is why a lot of Christians sing the Lord's Prayer as well. Friends, however you find yourself bringing your concerns before God, know that God loves you, that God hears you when you pray, even when you aren't sure, even when you don't know what you're doing, even when we can't see God, even when we aren't sure, God is listening. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.